Blog Talk Radio. What's your sign? Do you know? Let me guess. You're Scorpio. What's your rising? Where's your moon? Scorpios are pretty cool. See, I'm a sage, so they say. I'm a butterfly, I like to play. I'm always aiming into the sky. I point my arrows extremely high. 'Cause everyone has a sign. We're the supernatural. Believe or not, if you're so inclined, 'cause in this great big universe, we're the stars on Earth.
Hello, good evening. I'm Dr. Craig Martin. You're listening to the Inside Connection Radio on Blog Talk Radio, coming to you live every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific from Los Angeles. Welcome to the show tonight. It's a good one because we're going to be talking about manifestation, grounding, the principle of creating our reality. Was a topic, obviously, that was discussed in a book called The Secret, but it's been discussed and revealed for, I think, many years and many years before that. So we're going to discuss a few other authors that gave us clues as to how we could ground our energy and manifest what it is that we want in life. Before I get into the show topic tonight, what I'd like to do is go over the alignment. This is obviously a bit of a spiritual show, a bit of an astrology show. I like to do free readings. I have a call-in number. That's 213-943-3395. Please feel free to give me a call at 213-943-3395, and I'll be happy to do a short mini reading for you. So what's going on in the planets right now? Mars is retrograde still, but only for a few more hours. Very exciting. I think that the direct motion that we're going to be having for Mars is going to be all about action, all about activity, all about forward movement. If we've been feeling stagnant at all, we're about to get a real new burst of energy as Mars goes direct tomorrow and into the weekend. It's going to be stationary for a few hours, obviously. It's going to appear to be not moving at all. But then by Monday, it is definitely going to be moving as fast as possible. And so that's going to be amazing. One of the other things is that Mercury is direct. Yay, perfect. It's in Pisces still, which gives us a great deal of psychic energy, psychic connection, and ability to really tap into the etheric world, be able to pierce into and gain information from esoteric sources. So I think that that's also really important. And I wanted to say that tonight and going into tomorrow, there's actually a pretty dominant T-square. For those of you who know anything about astrology, that's three planets that are at crazy, not-so-easy angles to one another. It's Aries, the sun is in opposition to Saturn, and the moon is in Capricorn, and that's all a square. And so it's really about the individual, our practical concerns, trying to balance everything about what it is that we would like to achieve with our ability to actually ground it. So it's a perfect alignment for our talk tonight, because when we talk about why is it so hard to create manifestation, why is it so difficult to be able to get in there and say, oh, I want this, poof, you know, I can just blink my eyes and it'll happen. Doesn't happen like that. How come? This T-square is one really adequate, really wonderful representation of why we have that conflict, because trying to balance our vision with our capacity to handle the grounding of that vision and that balance, that Libra is a part of it, is not always easy. So, you know, what we think we might want, when we talk about Saturn, we talk about how it knows really what you want from the unconscious. So there are unconscious needs that we have that apparently we're not even really aware of, right? But we're manifesting them all the time. If relationships end, truly we can look back on the end of a relationship and say, it's because we wanted it to end too. Things are not thrust upon us. We're not victims of our experience, right? And the responsibility of owning what it is that we're going through is ours. I want to welcome some people into the chat room tonight. It's awesome to see you there. And I want to also let you know that you can find me on Twitter as Astro Healer. You can find me on Facebook as Dr. Craig. And if you're interested in knowing a little bit more about my private work and the work that I'm doing as an astrologer, that would be on the internet as lahealer.com. But enough of that. So we're going to be looking tonight at grounding. How is it that we can take an etheric idea, a visionary idea, bring it from source, which is very out there kind of energy. It's very diffuse. It has form, but not what you would call a physical form. It has the form of an ether. It has the form of something that's a little more intangible than what we normally think of as manifested form, like, you know, the table in front of me or this glass of water or something like that. That is what we think of as manifested form. And how do we get from the idea of a vision of a glass of water to actually having it in front of us? Because the process of envisioning a glass of water and then having it in front of you so that you can drink it is the exact same process as anything that you would want to manifest in your life. So there's no difference between manifesting your dinner tonight and manifesting the love of your life, a book contract, a better job, a raise, etc., etc. There's no difference in the principle. But I think one of the difficulties that we experience is that those things are possibly harder to manifest because we have certain blockages to manifesting them, certain beliefs about that manifestation. It's possible that, we don't really feel we deserve that manifestation at some unconscious level. It's possible we don't even believe it's out there. Some people want to find, you know, the love of their life or whatever, and if you ask them, they don't really think that that person exists, some people. Some people, then we go a little deeper and they don't really think that they really deserve to have it. So, you know, when we're looking at visualization and we're looking at our ability to manifest, I'd like to refer to Shakti Gawain, for those of you who know a little bit about her and her work. She is an absolutely awesome spirit who wrote a book many years ago called Creative Visualization. For me, it was one of the very first real pieces of literature that I came across that had come out that really expressed what, of course, eventually became The Secret. And what Shakti said in Creative Visualization was that you have to be able to visualize what it is that you want. Obviously, it's not as easy as just visualizing what we want, or we would all be lottery winners. But if we don't visualize what it is that we want, if we don't do our vision board, if we don't have a specific image of what it is that we want to create, then we're completely missing out on step one. Because creative visualization is a lot like intention, and intention is going to be the very first part of manifestation and our ability to take that high up energy, that etheric energy, the energy that's coming from source. It's very unlimited, infinitely creative, infinitely powerful, infinitely manifestatable. How about that for a word? And that energy from source is capable of being grounded, but we must first tap into it with a visualization in order to be able to manifest. We say we want to have a glass of water on the table, whether we know it or not, we actually will visualize from the conscious or unconscious what the glass looks like, what water in the glass looks like, etc., and we then go and pour it for ourselves, and voila, it's there in front of us. So manifestation begins with intention, and it begins with what Shakti called creative visualization. It's a general term, but she did coin it as the title of her book, and I absolutely love it. She said that in order to be able to begin a manifestation process, you need to be aware of three things. The first thing was that it existed. You had to believe that it existed out there in the universe. If you couldn't visualize it at all in existence, then there wasn't any way for you to be able to manifest it for yourself. I think a lot of people can pretty much visualize that certain things exist. Sometimes not. Sometimes it kind of boggles the mind. You have to be able to say, there are people out there who are billionaires. Can you imagine that exists? I'd have to be honest and say, wow, no. Like, what does that mean? Be a billionaire? It's a little out there, right? You have to say, like, does that exist? Yeah, I guess it exists. You have to be able to say, does it exist for you? If you don't really see yourself having $1 billion in the bank account, then it would be hard to say, I want to be a billionaire. So that's number one. It has to exist for you. Number two, though, is very important, and it is that you have to believe that you deserve to have it in your life. So let's say you could say, like, oh, I do. I can visualize the fact that there's $1 billion out there. Sure, there are billionaires, I know a few of them. They're awesome. They've got a lot of money. But you know what? I just don't really see myself in that place. I don't see myself living like that. I don't see myself having that kind of wealth. It can be from a place of deservedness. It can be just from a place of that you don't feel that visualization actually connects to you. So we have to start examining then what is it that we're looking for, because if we're asking to win the lottery, right, you want to visualize the lottery win or something like that, then how are you going to be able to manifest that at all if you can't visualize yourself as a multimillionaire or you don't think that you deserve to have it? But the third thing that I think is really integral and really important is that we have to have the grace to receive it once it arrives. And it's interesting that needs to be in place also in order for it to arrive. You have to be able to have the grace to receive it. Otherwise, very difficult to be able to manifest. And those three things, again, come from Shakti Gawain's book called Creative Visualization. Not that I'm plugging it or anything. It's just that it came up tonight when I decided to do a topic on grounding. So I want to welcome everyone to the show. Welcome the people who are in the chat room. It is a live call-in show, and there are readings, 213-943-3395. So I welcome your calls. And this is the Inside Connection with Dr. Craig Morton. I like to think of the our ability to manifest in an elemental way. Obviously, some of you know I wrote a book called Elemental Love Styles. It's about understanding life from a very basic elemental way. But in manifestation, the elements connect in a way where we have the source, the creative visualization, which is fire, and then we have to have our ability to communicate it, which is air. We have to have some kind of a feeling about it, which is water, and then earth has the final grounding manifestation principle, our ability to bring fire to earth. Wasn't just some metaphor, when we first discovered fire. It was actually a really profound experience for us all, because this was source heat, light, and warmth coming straight down, and whoa, it was right there in front of us on the ground. So all of our manifestations, the glass of water and you all becoming multimillionaires, because I'm visualizing it for all of you, that is the same as just simply lighting a fire in your fireplace. It's got the same power, the same manifestation. It's like, whoa, because fire from above has come down and manifested right here in front of you on the earth. You know, it's the principle that we find in many mystical paths. It's a principle that we find in Western mysticism and Eastern mysticism. It's certainly one of the principal tenets behind Kabbalistic study. If you know anything about the Kabbalah, if you know anything about the Tree of Life, the Tree of Life is really describing the path of manifestation from the very high source energy in the first, they're called Sephiroth, the 10 globes that are connected. So from the number one, which is like the head, either the head of, you know, of a man or woman, or the head of God, however you want to see it, from that highest up place, the mind of God, the mind of men and women, all the way down to the feet, which is what's on the ground. So the metaphor for our manifestation in the body and our meditation is about taking energy from that high up place and being able to bring it down and planting it on the feet, on your feet, on the ground. In a couple of minutes, we're actually going to do a grounding meditation, so hang on for that. I have someone in the chat room, and I'm going to go in the switchboard, and I'm going to go over and just say hello. Hello, it's Dr. Craig, and you're on the Inside Connection. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello? Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Actually, Jay calling from Canada.
Hi, Jay. How are you?
Doing good.
Haven't talked to you in a little while. What's going on?
Not too much. I think my plants are okay, but I got to talk to you regarding why is it so hard to manifest.
Okay.
You're talking about that, were you, earlier? You think you're
I am, and I'm going to be getting more into it as the show goes on, for sure. I want to be able to talk about clearing out blockages, and I want to be able to put it into a group meditation that we're going to do. But there are a number of reasons why I could have the chat with you. There are a number of reasons why manifestation gets blocked. Certainly any of the three things, let's say, that would be counterproductive to Shakti Gawain's information. You don't think it exists, you don't think you deserve it, or you don't have the grace to receive it because it just doesn't, you know, it doesn't fall on you like that. So a lot of times we can't really receive that which we're not open to receiving. Mm-hmm. And certainly with some level of humility, I guess, is a part of it, because, you know, it's just that's a part of the plan, is a part of being able to say that I feel grateful for what it is that's in my life. That's a part of it, but there are, I think, are other parts to our inability to manifest. And from an astrological perspective, it's quite interesting. One of the things I was talking about was how certain events can happen in our lives, and we might find that that event feels unfortunate or uncomfortable, and yet in astrological principle, it's actually really coming from our unconscious. So our unconscious is also equally manifesting situations based on what it is that it would like to experience. Okay, we're talking about the unconscious it. In the realm of metaphysics and spirituality, that part of you is actually a very important part, because it's more deeply connected to your soul's experience than the individual personality that you have in this lifetime with your conscious mind. Truly, I think that when we become more conscious beings, what it means is that the conscious personality has become more aware of what the unconscious is here to do and accomplish and achieve. That's a big part of how you create magic. You align the conscious and the unconscious mind. So there's something that I talked about called the intention, but the unconscious mind could actually come forward with a counter intention. It's possible that You know, we don't want something. It's hard to frame it in the negative. I really don't like framing it in the negative. It's possible that we want mm-hmm. something else, that what we're really looking for in life is something else. And we have a conscious desire to manifest something based on a sort of social dictate, something that comes from our parents or society or the media or our lover or whatever. And but unconsciously, it's not something that we really want to bring into our lives. It's not something that we actually really do want to experience. And so it's difficult then for the principle of manifestation to actually occur, because there's going to be an unconscious counterintention to having it manifest. For instance, you see it sometimes in people's language, right? They want to diet, but all they keep saying is how fat they are. I mean, it's just one example, right? So they want to diet, they want to be thinner, but all they keep saying is how fat they are. Well, right there is their counterintention, that the unconscious mind, for lack of a better, you know, way of saying it, is comfortable being whatever weight that person is. And so consciously, right, they want to lose weight, they want to lose weight because it's about their mother nagging them or whoever, right? But unconsciously, they don't really want to lose the weight, so they verbalize the counterintention. It's such a complex process, right? Because, again, while it seems real simple, have an idea, communicate the idea, attach it to an emotion, and boom, it manifests. That's why I said your ability to manifest $1 million is just as easy as your ability to manifest a glass of water. But all of the intention has to be pure and aligned between your conscious and your unconscious mind. So that's one really big answer to your question, is why is it so difficult to manifest? That's one of the really big reasons, because getting in touch with our unconscious intentions is more complicated and, you know, entirely more hidden until we do more work around that. It's one reason why someone might want to see an astrologer. It's why someone might want to see somebody who can contact guides and spirits for you, because by having somebody else look into your unconscious for you, they can mirror for you possibly something that you're not seeing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I take advantage of all kinds of people who I think are capable of going to source and taking a look at my, you know, process and helping me to become more clear about what it is. That way, perhaps I don't have to waste time trying to manifest things that I don't really want. I know it sounds funny, but, you know, it's a part of the way we're conditioned in life, right? We're conditioned to have certain beliefs, and then one day you could come to the realization that you don't really want that at all, and that you're perfectly happy with something else, and that's one reason why it's been so hard. There are other reasons, too, and that is, some manifestations take time in order for them to be able to actually come to fruition. There's something called a gestation period, right? You can't just visualize having a baby and then have it in your lap the next day. It's really, I mean, I guess there's some maybe like mystical thing where you could maybe say, oh, I just finished my adoption program and they called me the next day. But even that, you have to go through the whole process of filing and applying and blah, blah. That doesn't take one day. So there's a gestation process for everything. It's very short when you want to have a glass of water. The gestation process between the idea, oh, I want to have a glass of water, and then having it on the table in front of you so that you can drink it, that's quite short. It might be as short as a few seconds. Go to the cabinet, get a glass, turn the tap on, and there it is. Some things take longer, and that's one reason also why they might feel that it's hard, is because when we have a goal and we want to work hard to accomplish it, we can't give up on it. Now, again, that has to be balanced with, is it really a goal that we want to accomplish? If it is, then I always recommend that people stick with it. Don't tell people to abandon goals that they really feel are in their heart and in their unconscious, and they feel very aligned with it, and it's something that they really want to try to accomplish, then go for it, you know. Work hard, put out all that energy, create lots of intention, attach a lot of emotions to it, create a lot of words around it, and use the power of your, you know, your elemental reality and your ability to creatively visualize and create the manifestation.
I find that when you're doing the visualization, and you get a sometimes it doesn't work because it's actually all based. Everything's based on feeling.
Everything's all based on feeling. Well, you have to have emotions in order to be able to create the manifestation. That's like the magic ingredient. The magic ingredient is charging the intention with emotion. It gets charged with emotion, and that becomes the way that it can ripple out across the ethosphere and bounce back and come back and create manifestation in the physical plane. I mean, your passion is not really emotion in the elemental reality. Passion is something like what motivates you, or what do you feel enthusiastic about? That's, we don't put that in the same category as emotion. So first we have to have a passion and a motivation and an enthusiasm for something, right? You want to find a girlfriend, you want to find a new job, you want to get a promotion. You have to be enthusiastic about it. You have to be motivated to get that. That's the fire. That's what sets the intention, because it's very hard to have an intention that you're not really enthusiastic about. So the intention is the enthusiasm. The intention is the contacting the source. It's like, you know, like the whole idea to pick up the phone. You know, like, oh, I want to dial. I feel passionate. I'm going to dial right now. The dialing, that's your intention. Who are you calling, Jay? You know, what are you calling up? What are you calling in? Next, you have to give it words, you know. That's when source picks up the phone. And you have to say, hello. And then you have to be able to say what it is that you're looking for and what it is that you want to be able to put into words. You have to actually frame it in language, right? I think that's why in some phrases in the Bible and in other, you know, mystical sources, they say first there was the word and, you know, God said whatever, light. In whatever language, I'm sure it was in English. And then, you know, boom, light happened, right? All the stars lit up, and that was a cool moment. And God was like, all right, that's cool. Light, let's call it that. But it had to have that, and it had to have emotion behind it. God had to actually have the intention to create light, the ability to give light a word, and then the emotion behind it, like light's going to be cool. You know, I think I want to see what it looks like, so let's turn the lights on. And that emotion, like, wow, yeah, you know, it's going to be really cool. I'm excited about it. That's what actually turned them on. Then manifestation of light happens. The blockage is always because we either don't want it to happen or we haven't waited long enough.
Well, you know, interesting you say that, because when I went for a job, I knew some words that work and some things that I didn't pray for, but I didn't use the words try, want, can't, and hope, as those words are about lack.
Correct.
So I just created it.
Awesome.
Let's
tell him again. That's awesome. Try, want,
hope,
can't. Exactly. And why? Because if you're constantly saying, I want to have this new job, then that's all you get is the wanting.
But
you don't actually get the job. All you get is the wanting. You're saying out loud, I want a new job. Okay, well, you'll get that. You'll get the wanting.
Well,
yeah.
No, yeah, you'll get the lacking of a job, so that's
exactly
what it is.
Exactly, because all you'll get is the wanting, and that's not the job itself. So you have to be able to say, I have the job, I got the job, I'm in the job is mine. These are permanent affirmative intentions that will lead to the attachment of the emotion and then consequently the manifestation.
Well,
it's always
good
to talk to you, Jay. Very stimulating. And you also know a lot about metaphysics, so I appreciate having you on the show, and you've made an awesome co-host.
Hey, you're very welcome.
I have somebody else on the switchboard, so I'm going to go over and say hello to them. But thank you. It's always good to have you on the show.
You too. Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye. So once again, you're listening to Inside Connection Radio on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Pacific, coming to you from Los Angeles. I'm Dr. Craig Martin. You can find me on the internet at lahealer.com, losangeleshealer.com. Your area code 504, and you're on the Inside Connection.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Who's this?
I'm Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. Where are you calling me from?
From New Orleans, Louisiana.
I love it. Love it. New Orleans.
Thank you.
Would you like for me to look at your chart?
Oh, thank you, sir.
Or do you want to make a comment about the show's topic tonight?
Oh, I love listening to you. A good friend of mine recommended you, and she's listening right now.
Yes.
And being
that
I've always...
That wouldn't be Mary Lou, would it?
It is Mary Lou.
I love Mary Lou.
I love her, and I've had the honor of meeting her.
I can imagine. So,
yeah, she's wonderful
in
person.
Let me go over to my my astrology software and put some information in for you, Debbie, and then I'll give you a quick reading, and we'll see what we come up with tonight, if I can connect it to our topic, too.
Thank
Debbie,
you.
Debbie, can you give me your last name?
Duval.
LL?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And your birthday?
10/3/53. I'm an oldie.
No. Not at all. You're a Libra. Timeless.
I am. I'm a Libra.
So, time of birth?
Sir?
Do you know the time when you were born?
Yes, sir. 10:55 a.m.
10:55 a.m. And in what town?
New Orleans, Louisiana.
Right where you are right now?
Yes, sir.
That's awesome. You got it. All right, Debbie. So, there's a little interference with some TV or radio noise in the background.
Oh, I'm so sorry, sir.
No, that's
all right,
honey.
Let me move. I apologize. No,
no, that's
I'm sorry. My little mom is...
No apologies.
She's hard of hearing.
So this has been a really interesting time for you, Debbie, because you're actually at the time of what's called the Saturn return, and it's your second Saturn return, and it is based on the age that you are, and it has something to do with also clearing out the dead wood in your life, especially. So because it's all in Libra, if you've been having some difficulties with some friends or a personal relationship or even a romantic relationship, or if you're married with a husband, right now Saturn is like really asking you to take a look at what you really need from your friendships, from romantic relationships, or from, in fact, anyone that you're having like a really important contractual agreement with. It is not an easy time. I'm sure you're not going through an easy time right now, because second Saturn return is always saying, well, what at 29 years old, because now we're twice that, right? You're getting, right, I know. I'm not even supposed to say that. But
that's okay.
Saturn goes
I'm not
around
like that.
The sun every 29 years. So you're actually in the second cycle of that. It's pretty incredible, and I think it's a really amazing time. If right now you're not really going through a lot of change, then probably at an earlier time in your life, you created a very strong, you know, adequate representation of what it is that you have want, what it is that you want your life to be about. And if right now there are certain things that are not working out for you, and I do mention some friendships because you have Saturn in the 11th house, which is the house of friends, but also you have it in Libra, which always talks about relationships in general, and then right next to your Saturn is Mercury, which is that whole fairness thing that you got going on, because you are a very fair-minded person. Sure, you're very proud, very spiritual, and very meticulous. You like to keep it clean, but you are a relationship-oriented person, even with that amazing sense of humor that you have. So relationship with different people in your community, relationship relationship with people that you know as friends, relationships that you have with God, with whatever it is that you believe spiritually, because you've worked on that for so long.
Right.
Now is a time when you're going to be reviewing what parts of that and which people in your life perhaps don't really serve you in the way that you might like for them to. And so it's not that they're dispensable. It's that on an unconscious level, it might be time to let go of some relationships or some aspects of relationships that are not really serving you anymore as you've gotten older.
Okay.
You following?
Oh, right to nail on the head.
Oh, good. Yeah, ask
it, it doesn't have to do with a mate, by no means.
Okay,
but
good. That's good.
It's spiritual work I do.
Yeah.
Yes, very in-depth.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, you know, you have your moon conjunct Pluto in Leo in the ninth house. It's a very, like, spiritual leadership role, and I think for you, there's something very transformational about your ability to be a leader, your ability to, you know, you have so many planets at the top of your chart. It's a very public chart.
Right.
It's a very public chart. You wanted to have relationships, public relationships, you know, where you're talking about your relationships in a public way. Your relationship with God, really. It's just that right now, even that relationship itself gets called into question because it's time again for you to review that relationship, not in any negative way, but in a positive way to see if there are changes there that you need to make to create a greater understanding for yourself.
Oh, you're so right. You're so right. I don't want to take any time from someone else. But,
yeah, that's fine. Go ahead.
I do have a group, and what I do is, since I was 4 or 5,
right.
Thank God my grandmother was a seer, but my whole family were. But I have a group now where we work with the FBI and cops fund and missing and murdered. I've been doing this all my life by myself, and I thought of getting a group, and I'm starting to see what you're saying. A lot of people come with egos, and I don't like that. I don't have time for that.
Of course.
So I do a lot of public. You're right. You're very right. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. It was a pleasure for you to call, and thanks so much
and
for being on the show.
I do believe in God, so.
I'm on every Thursday night.
I know. I'm going to be listening now.
I guess it's like
I really
10,
will.
I guess it's 10 p.m. your time. So I'm going to thank Mary Lou, too, for referring you over, because she's just awesome, and I've often enjoyed chatting with her.
She is. And like I said, we had a wonderful opportunity. She spent Thanksgiving. We're real down-to-earth folk down here and warm, and my family fell in love with her.
Yeah, well, I can see why, really.
And she does
a lot of spiritual. What a dynamic person.
A lot of spiritual.
Debbie, thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you so much.
You
it's a pleasure
evening,
to meet you. Blessings.
Okay, you too, hon. Bye-bye.
Good night.
So what I want to do right now, since we do have a few minutes, is I want to do a grounding, a manifestation meditation. I think that came about quite spontaneously in the earlier discussion, and I know that we have a live crowd who might really like that and who could, really benefit from it. So everyone just get in a comfortable position, real comfortable, whatever it is that suits you. You know, it's okay if you're lying down, chilling out. But it would be good if you were listening to my voice in a comfortable place, and maybe if you were seated, if you just closed your eyes for a second and take one breath in and a breath out and allow that breath to just really go through the body and melt it. Just really allow the body to become very relaxed, very relaxed. Throat, chest, sternum up high right there in front of your heart, everybody. Let's just let that area go, and shoulders and down, and really relax. And then we want to have our feet on the floor somehow, or we want to have our feet, if we are happen to be lying down, bent with their feet flat. You know, your feet, I don't want anyone's feet in the air right now, just being exposed to the air, because we're going to do a manifestation ritual, and we're going to want to manifestation meditation, and we want to be able to allow the energy to contact the ground. So breath in and a breath out, and we're going to go high up into our crown, and above our crown we're going to see a swirling, moving energy of light spinning, a lot like you saw in high school when electrons went spinning around in an atom. And that energy is just moving above your head, and it's infinite, and it's glowing, and it's shimmering, and it has very beautiful violet color, midnight blue and violet, and sparks of silver flying around above your head. And what you're going to do is, without even having to reach out to it, you're going to feel some of those sparks come dropping down into the top of your head, because what they're doing is they're funneling down. They're funneling down, and you welcome them, and they tickle you. They tickle you in the nicest way, in the happiest way. And you breathe in, and you allow them to just sort of go around inside of you and inside of your body. And at a cellular level, they're in there. And what they're doing is they're gently clearing out little blockages to what it is that you would like to ground and the energy that you would like to manifest tonight. Now remember, that energy can't really clear out an intention in your unconscious that actually more accurately represents what it is that you want. So perhaps we can also ask those little particles to go in there, and if there is something inside, some intention in the unconscious, that perhaps they would help bring it to the light for you, that perhaps they would make it more clear for you what it is that you do want to manifest. And take a breath in and let a few more of those swirl down into you and go down into your thighs and down into your calves and down into your feet, and then out the other side, they go down into the ground. Almost like little darts with direction, and you can see them come down from above where they are a lot more diffuse and swirling, and you know, they just sort of slip in, you breathe them in, you attract them to yourself, they come down into you, and as they go through your body, they become more and more and more collectively organized as they swirl around, until when they come out, bottom of your feet, they're direct, straight arrows into the ground. So let's go back up into the source energy and raise our consciousness up into it just a little bit, as if we can bring our eyes up into the source. And now we can see all of the swirling particles, the life-giving creative particles of infinite energy and bliss. We can see them moving all around us because now we've brought our consciousness up into there. And what is it that you see? What is it that you see that you know you'd like to bring down to the ground? What is it that's in your heart, that's in your love, that's a part of your motivation, enthusiasm, that you want to be able to attach to, that you want to be able to see? And when you feel it, I want one of those swirling particles to come, and right in front of your eyes, I want it to just stop and swirl and buzz and radiate and flicker around in front of your mind. Just that one. And on it is written what it is that you have for your own personal intention. Breathe into it and breathe out, and then allow it to follow that same path down through your head, down through your body, down through your throat, and down through your body and down through your heart, and radiate out and become more collected and straighten it out like an arrow and down into the ground. Then what I want you to do is I want you to take a breath, and I want you to come back over here. Slowly open up your eyes and realize that you're back in your room, and let that energy go. And we want to thank Source. I want to thank everyone who participate in that, and as a collective, I know, feel confident of the beauty and blessings that we all asked for and that we all want to manifest in our lives. So the idea behind that meditation was to be able to see that there's a pure sense of what it is that we would actually like to ground in our lives. It can actually be a behavior, you know. You could say, I have something that I want to work on, that I want to ground in my lives, like work on meaning in your own personality. That could be something that you want to manifest. And there's nothing, you know, preventing you from manifesting those things that you'd like to see change in your personality. That's grounding, because that has to do with your behavior, you know, on the earth. The way in which we treat other people is something that becomes a part of the ground. So if you find that, you know, you want to be more loving or more patient, or you want to be a better listener, or let's say you want to be a better talker, you know, you want to be able to communicate in a better way, or, you know, more open and more more direct or more confident, that was the word I was looking for, so that if you want any of those qualities, those things are also manifestatable. I liked that word, let's use it again, are manifestatable from you in the same process that we did just use, or a million other variations of your own. I know that many of the people listening are seasoned meditators and group meditators and facilitators, and so we know that when we go in spontaneously, or if we've planned a meditation, that there is an infinite possibility right in there of what feels good and what feels right to us, and our ability to take that source and bring it down for us and bring it down into the ground, somewhat a bit like a tether. You know, it's like saying when we send up a kite and then, you know, we reel the kite back in, what has the kite collected while it's been up there? You know, maybe we look, maybe we don't, you know, but it certainly has collected something. It doesn't ride up on a string into the heavens and then come back down unchanged or without having a little piece of something attached to it, energy that's good and that's free. And we can have that be a part of us. It reminds me of a Native American way of collecting energy and manifesting. And they talk about like the stone people, you know, like the stone, the tree people, the cloud people. And the Native Americans have an amazing way of personifying animate and inanimate things, because they call them like the four-leggeds, and we're like the two-leggeds, and the animals are the four-leggeds. And it's just very cool language that gives all things, whether they're animate or inanimate, a life force. Even though we may or may not consider it, quote unquote, alive, because that's been our terminology, that's been our way of looking at life, is that it has to be animated. And yet the Native Americans saw that some of like the oldest life forms on the planet were like the stone people. They didn't change over time. So they were capable of collecting vast millennia of information. And where I was headed with this was to say that they believed that you could tap into the wisdom that was in that stone simply by laying your hands on it and putting it near your body. It's the idea behind, you know, millions of years of energetic alignment with crystals and stones and things like that. But in tonight's discussion, it connects with that energy, the energy that's in all things, is capable of manifesting. We're capable of creating change through utilizing the energy that we come in contact with. I think it's why we like to purchase, let's say, personal possessions or a little knickknack or whatever, or why we have that little piece of jewelry that means so much to us that we wear around our neck. It's because it has the energy. It has the energy of something that we want close to us, something that we would like to be able to have. have as a part of our manifestation, because that energy helps us to manifest. Having that energy is something that can help clear out other blockages that we're actually really unclear about. So it's nice, I think, to think that you know, we can go through even our personal possessions, our inanimate objects, things that actually mean something to us. You know, if you walk for long enough in the woods or on a trail or on the beach or whatever, you're going to inevitably find the stone that speaks to you, the rock that's there that you're like, wow, that's the one that's really speaking to me. Well, if you're listening, then you'll understand what that speaks to me is about. When people say, oh, you need to go out and get a crystal, but you'll know which one is yours because you'll just be attracted to it. It's the same thing like all relationships. You're attracted to it because of the energy that's there and what it's going to be able to do to you and for you as a part of your own transformational and growth process. So it's I think, incredibly powerful stuff, the idea of actually manifesting. And, you know, it's another reason why it doesn't always just happen the way we would like it to, is because manifestation does not happen lightly. It doesn't happen, you know, on a whim. It's very rare that, you know, you can just say, oh, like, you know, I'll just think this thing or think it once and then, you know, there it is, you know, in your path. But I guess that, again, happens, and it happens, really, if it's been in your unconscious already for a long, long time. It's much more likely that something has to be nurtured, and that we remember and honor that gestational process so that we can, you know, move forward and create what it is that we want in our lives. You've been listening to me, Dr. Craig Martin, on Inside Connection Radio on Blog Talk Radio. This is a call-in show. If anyone else would like to get in tonight, I have one more slot available, 213-943-3395. Otherwise, we're going to be signing off soon, and I'm going to jump in and do the closing comments for the show. So, you know, I feel like Mars is going to go direct. I'm so excited about that, because that retrograde Mars since the middle of January, talk about a counterintention to manifestation. Oy, right? Mars, the one that actually creates action and initiative. You know, we've been talking about for half the night how to create an intention and have an initiative, and in just a few hours it's going to be going direct, and different things are going to change for us, which is really great. So pay attention throughout, you know, tonight and tomorrow for sure, about the T-square, because it has great energy. I think that emotionally we can do some really powerful practical grounding work. One reason why I guess this topic came up for tonight, we can create a greater sense of ourselves as an individual, and we can balance the individuality that we seek for ourselves and our own individual manifestation. We can balance that with our own practical need to see that grounding in the world around us. I want to thank everyone for being here live in person tonight, the people who have been listening live in person. I want to thank all the people who listened to me in the archives. That group's been getting bigger and bigger every week, and I'm feeling very honored that we're reaching a wider and wider audience in the archives. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to leave you with a little piece from Sarah McLachlan, a beautiful little song called Bring On the Wonder. Thank you, and I'll see you next Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific.
The outlines are clear. Bring down deep in my soul for too long. Fell through the cracks at the end of our street. Let's go to the beach, get the sand through our feet. Bring on the wonder, bring on the song. Pushed you down deep in my soul for too long. Bring on the wonder, got it all wrong. Pushed you down deep in our souls for too long.
For two.